Welcome to scan.org today. Well, this one is a bizarre one, and I would love to represent Australian artists as much as possible today, and it's not just the music. So stay tuned, enjoy the program. A very down under, above, and Australian Aussie-like program of scan.org for the rest of the world to acknowledge and to take up and put up with and shut up.
Here's a favourite old bush song, and we'd like you all to sing along.
The old gum tree.
Like this. Now we'll have some fun with this song.
Why not join our happy bush band as we play a line for you?
No, well, it doesn't matter. We don't really need a drum roll.
Love!
Sometimes it is good to go into the retrospection room where I am now. Just to unwind and let the mind rest for a little while. The room is designed to elevate primitive creative impulses into can-do audio creations of average acceptable standards. After a short time in the room, the feelings of gentle guidance by an invisible hand may raise your eyebrow. Fear not. Let go. Release your tension. Feel the room. Be the room. very good. Now, gently learn how to master the room.
And so it was here, in this broad plain, at the edge of the forest, on June the 15th, 1837, that the organized colonial troops came upon the main rebel force. Many thousands of men strung out across this landscape. The king's men fell upon the rebellious indigenous fighters immediately. The smoke of hundreds of rifles rose into the sky as reports echoed around the hills.
This is an 18th century rifle. Of course, it's not as accurate as a modern weapon. In fact, it's far more dangerous for the person firing it. It's far less reliable. But for the time, this weapon was a vicious, efficient killing machine. Although the indigenous forces had acquired some rifles from the invaders and had a few guns they had made themselves, they could not match the firepower of the brightly coloured, barrel-chested, mustachioed British troops in tight white trousers.
And this, though here, at the edge of the grassland, is the scene of the alleged massacre, where it has been claimed more than 1,000 Aboriginal warriors were killed in retribution for an attack on colonial settlements the night before.
The night of June the 14th, the rebels had attacked colonial settlements, stealing livestock and killing some settlers who attempted to stop them. The following morning, Commissioner Andrew Ferguson ordered the dispatch of a punitive force.
The trouble is, of course, that nobody alive really knows what happened here, and the historians who have fabricated this historical pseudo-event are relying on flimsy shreds of evidence composited into clumsy fiction. In fact, the only reliable account we have is that of infantryman James Gregson, who was on the scene at the time.
Although no substantial human remains have been found at this site, where over 600 indigenous rebels probably died at the hands of the devilish colonial overlords, what could be...
That Gutmanship Gregson reports that while a group of...
What could be bone fragments have been located somewhere...
Soldiers were in fact sent to this region in response to a raid.
Somewhere in the vicinity of this small rise, just here...
But the small expedition found the natives friendly, according to Gregson's account, gave them biscuits and a pat.
Hey!
And a pat on the head and went on their way, no harm done.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
What? A documentary. I'm making a documentary.
No? On what?
Put the gun down, Patrick.
What's the documentary? Keith, tell me.
I've put the script in my pocket, just...
Careful.
Just here, stuck in.
Put your hands in the air where I can see them.
And so it was that here, on the edge of the broad plain, at the edge of the forest here, that on September the 14th, 2003, the history wars began in earnest in this part of the country, which was still in many ways at that time untamed by Western civilization.
Well, I'm here in Nimbim, in the street, standing in front of the Hemp Embassy, which has been just attacked with Molotov cocktails by some insurgency of an indescriptive nature. We don't quite know who's behind it, but people are running out of the shop, running out of the embassy to rescue themselves. The embassy is burning, the roof is coming up. It's maybe a bit of a problem here to find out who's behind the attack, but we do understand that the embassy in the past caused some furor with other people around the planet.
Hello?
Yes,
Scandal-Dork here.
Yes, myself.
Yes, I'm alone.
Sorry, sir, I can't put you on here.
What?
No, sir, it's illegal and I don't have any equipment.
Sir?
Sorry, sir, please. Sir, please, listen for a moment. Please, yes, I'd like to explain to you that we are in a digital backwater and...
No, sir, we are not monitored. There's nobody here to monitor. Besides...
No, sir, please believe me. These people who once knew about our telecom system are all long dead.
Yes, I'm saying no one alive understands Australia's telecommunication system.
I agree, it is bizarre.
Please, sir, I just try to explain that I don't have any equipment to put you on air.
No, sir, we are just financially challenged out here.
Really? You're not making a cruel hoax?
Well, I must say, that's extremely generous.
What?
The phone hybrid is donated by the Pentagon? Are you taking me on a ride? Ongoing rewards? Psychological warfare, you know? Are you sure, sir, you are speaking with the right person here?
What? Media leaks? Feel-good reportage?
$1,500 per week? Yes, I do understand, sir, that you are about to bribe... Sir?
What? The local Christian Association will deliver the phone hybrid?
Ah, it is a charitable motive.
Yes, sir. Well, I will have to ponder the
$3,000.
No, sir, I think it doesn't need any further pondering.
Yes, sir. It will be ready by Friday each week.
Most certainly, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank.
Yeah, I just came back from the turbine winding training course in Lismore. How to wind a turbine and not to get the targets instead of embassy burning afterwards. But it's not that easy.
No.
I understand why there are problems with tidy turbans, you know.
Of course. I mean, some people say it's a delayed fuse, but it's really just a string to hold it together.
You know, it's quite normal that the man, the modern man,
keep it neat,
in the morning spends 10 minutes of winding the turban.
Yeah, there's nothing the matter with it.
You know, 10 minutes on shaving. Oh, no, they're not shaving, but instead of shaving, the 10
maybe
minutes...
Maybe they are shaving underneath.
No, they're not allowed to shave. They grow beard men in the Arabic world, and they take 10 minutes to wind the turban.
And
everyone who's looking that loose, like that French cartoonist Druid, is like a lowlife.
Is their hairstyle underneath, is it a bit like the Orthodox Jews? They don't shave their round bits or anything?
Oh, it's punk colour. Pink punk colour.
Far out. I'd never know. How come you get to see naked Arab men?
I don't think
you woke up with naked Arab men and you know they take 10 minutes in the morning. I think that's more
confidential because I've got private contact with the Al Jazeera network.
You're sending me those tapes. If you know some gay Arab, you should come and tell us.
See, every time a tape gets sent out, I get a tape first. Mm-hmm. You know, so then
this way you get
blamed. They let me know which home security department needs to switch their alert lights, you know.
Right. I want to know about you waking up with naked Arab men and helping them put their turban on.
Is this how she deems my balls to be?
Today's radio blog is brought to you courtesy of Siv O'Neill, an Axis of Logic columnist based in France. She can be reached at siv@axisoflogic.com. I thank her for her inspiration. The day the People's March began. A saga. The world is spinning on a tenuous thread attached to the murky forces of the underground. In the caves beneath the soil, the rats are scurrying around, trying to find exits that won't let them out in the bright daylight. The state coffers are emptied of all contents. The blood of the enemy is seeping into the cracks of the walls and slowly covering the ground in the caves. The rats are roaring like wounded tigers.
The age of darkness has arrived.
And nothing can be seen. No light is getting through to the interior of the cave from the outside world. From far off, a faint beating of a drum can be heard. A beat that's getting more and more distinct. A drumbeat of life amidst all the sordid darkness and blood and the shrill squeaking of the rats. The beat is getting stronger every second. It seems as if several drums have joined the one drum that was heard from far away at the beginning. And now the entrance to the cave is broken down by a horde of people armed with nothing but their fists and their drumbeat. The daylight is coming back. It's seeping through the door and the rats are getting blinded. They are scurrying around like doomed beasts, trying desperately to find an exit in some dark corner. Outside in the light of the rising sun, a procession of marching people has formed and they are moving unstoppably across the hills and valleys, across rivers and through forests. The procession is growing in size every minute and the drumbeat is steadily getting louder. The masses of people sweep up everything in their way. They are singing now, singing first hesitantly, then more and more assured. Old people and children have joined them in their march. The procession is moving forward, and it's growing and growing. It's getting wider and longer, and it's finally covering the country. The people build bridges over the waters. They walk across mountains and through deserts. They are leaving behind the rats in the cave who are quivering in fear, and they keep marching, keep gathering strength and numbers, keep marching, and the drummers keep drumming, louder and louder. People come from the mountains, and they come from the flatlands. They come from the forests, and they come from faraway valleys. They are in the hundreds. They are in the thousands. They are in the millions. Finally, they are in the hundreds of millions. They are covering the ground, the mountains, the valleys, the horizons. They are pushing ahead, ahead, toward the light that's freedom.
To stop the furious spinning of the world.
The rats have nowhere to go. They are deadened by the drumbeat, hypnotized by the masses of people. They cower. They get blinded by the light. They shrivel to foul pieces of crumpled flesh, and the people march over them, not even seeing the squalid lumps of dirt that get kicked into the ditches. They are at last getting hold of the thread that's holding the world. The world that is spinning and spinning in a desperate attempt to make us believe that it's the normal way of life. The world is spinning at a crazed rhythm, and the masses of people are finally seeing that it didn't have to be like this. The world can slow down. The world can wait for us, the people. The world can count us all in. It can take us all in under its huge roof. The bleeding can stop. We don't need any more slaughter.
No need for greed or hunger.
We don't need the rats anymore. The rats who made us feel so desperately scared. The rats who kept telling us there is not enough food, there is not enough water, there is not enough room for everyone. We have to go on plundering, conquering, destroying mountains to find the gold that's buried underneath. We have to go on accumulating. We have to go on, go on, go on. The rats couldn't see that life is just living. That's all there is to life. It's living for us and for all those who are coming to replace us when we are gone. What life is about is just living. Imagine.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder, oh, people here in Nimbim, what they're getting into, how they form their consciousness, how they get educated by the media. Have a listen to this little snippet.
Some grubs in the Australian wheat, and there's weevils in the flour now.
You're joking.
Yeah, the whole Middle East area is complaining now.
Can't they just use them weevil bombs?
They're weevil, yeah, but that's the problem. They can't separate it. They don't have the technology.
What are we going to do? We'll have to weed it. It's going to get rejected, come back to Australia, and we have to eat the weevily fucking weed again. I'm sick of it.
We just rebranded for Asia.
Asia's fucking dumps their shit on us too, man.
What about Africa?
They could do with it. There's protein, I suppose. Can we get anything for it?
There's no kickbacks there.
There's a lot of wheat.
They could sell and they
give us a whole country for that wheat. They don't have poison. We could swap a truckload of bloody weevily wheat for,
Durban poison.
Durban.
Yeah.
Durban. Anyway, there's a lot of wheat. We could get one of the little countries, one of the insignificant
ones. Are we talking about wheat or weed?
Weevils.
Wheat in the grain. African wheat is very good.
Yeah.
I don't know about the wheat.
Elephant.
Their wheat is good.
Elephant. Yeah, elephant shit. Because
no, elephant shit. That's right, good wheat.
They grow good wheat.
Yeah, they got lots of good wheat in Africa.
Because elephants really walk around a pop like that. Yeah.
Anyway, we're looking a bit dumb there, down there in the AWB now, and this pesky American guy, he doesn't stop. He's poking into this enormous nest of corruption here.
And no one's talked about the 300 million that it was our farmers who lost out. They're the ones who lost out, and everyone's running around. 300 million. 290, 230, 300, round it up.
Yeah, it could give us some schools.
Just like half $1 million we lost. Yeah. It was the farmers' money, mate. It wasn't the AWBs, it was the farmers.
So they got the
drought and flood, they had to grow the wheat.
So that
and lose half.
I think African wheat's better than Australian wheat anyway. The Australian wheat board isn't coming up to scratch and has to pay bride because they got into suspicious or inferior wheat.
Well, that's not our problem.
Now, wheat is good because...
That poison button pushed up.
But can you make bread out of it?
Yeah, you can, actually. Yeah, you can.
With poison bread.
With poison bread. You can make all sorts of bread.
Australian wheat cookies.
And you can smoke your bread. That's the thing.
No, you can not only make it, you can smoke it.
You can't
smoke it.
Yeah,
of course.
Smoke
yeah,
bread.
The Africans have been doing it for thousands of years. Where do you think civilization came from? Africa. Why? Because of the wheat.
The Jewish people in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't want any targeted killings here.
Hamas gave me a call the other day. They said, do I know of any Israelis around here? I said, yeah. Man, there's only a couple.
Yeah. Byron Bay, there's a few.
Yeah. I think they're going to send a little squad over.
Yeah, there's a little cluster of them in Brunswick Heads, actually.
Kosher Bacon Bay.
There's a cluster of them in Brunswick Heads.
I'm not taking sides, Hamas or the Israelis. But you know, if they ask me a question, I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm not going to lie.
I reckon they're going to say,
I mean, if you've got Israelis around here, of course, man, if you see you in the cafe, you get half a dozen every day.
I was eating hummus with my seaweed crackers last night. It was very nice. Just sit there in front of the TV. Yeah. Very nice. Chickpeas and all that. Yeah. I don't know what all the problem is. It's nice stuff.
You take them and steam them.
Condoleezza Rice is just some modestly an Indonesian dish.
I think that guy was a spy. Lucky we shut up.
Yeah. So what did about his food? I mean, we're just having a food conversation.
We had a nori roll from next door yesterday. Yeah. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Asian
style. I like nori roll too.
Chocolate coated figs. Yeah. Did you have the chocolate coated figs?
Chocolate coated fig, not yet, but I'm looking forward to that experience. I think it's very good. It's a lot better than all this other stuff, you know.
Comes close to hedonistic food.
Chocolate coated figs, mate. If you chew chocolate coated shit and it tastes good, but figs
people
are nicer.
People should stop fighting and make nice dishes, nice food.
Chocolate coated.
Make food, not war. You know, this is what it's all about, really.
Yeah, this having is, a chocolate
this is what Scandorf is all about, to make cooking recipe programs in the future.
Iran going to start selling oil in euros next month, March.
Exactly.
And they're just putting up all these beef about the weapons of mass destruction shit again, and it looks like the Yanks are going into Iran again.
It's not like Iraq.
The last time the Iranians and the Americans had a shit fight was in 1980, and the price of gold had reached historical heights. Guess what? The price of gold now
is up there.
Historical heights. It's the same price as it was in 1980 when they had their shit fight.
You know what's going to happen?
I reckon they're looking for an excuse to go to Iran again. It's just a cover up again. Another one.
There's people making money from that inflated gold prices. And those people, we should find them, put them on the wall and shoot them.
Yeah. You know the new buzzword? The new buzzword which makes the
Morocco orange? Cannibalism, no.
I mean, all I can
think about is food.
Yeah.
You know,
cannabis.
Make food,
cannabis.
Not war.
Yeah. No, we need oil, man.
Cannabis, man.
Eating the fish and chips.
Yeah, that's olive oil. That's olive oil.
You've got to get them there and squeeze them, mate. If I can get a barrel of fruit for 68 bucks. You can't get a barrel for 68 bucks.
Organic cold pressed olive oil.
No. Petroleum, mate.
Never go with petroleum.
You filter it. You get the coffee filter in the coffee filters and you filter it.
I heard about biodiesel, but there's no way I'm having bio cooking oil, you know, getting the engine oil and going back the other way. Oh, I don't know about that one. That had to be a great good fuel.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that program today. A very Australian flavoured one. We started with the Fringe Festival band Spoonbill with their song Gumtree. And it was done by Moose Mastering from Fringe Festival in Melbourne 2004. This CD is not available on the market. And I wrote to the producer to get the rights for this upload. So contact me or contact Melbourne Fringe 2004. I can give you a website if you'd like later on. I think it is just melbournefringe.com.au. Then we had The Australian History War, Volume 1. This is written by ironyparty.org. Click on ironyparty.org, all small letters, one word. And it's been narrated by Ian Graham and myself, and we are sort of dipping into the Keith Windschuttle, Patrick White warb. And Keith Windschuttle, you and I know that he is John Howard's pet historian to alleviate and give a good feel for the middle class that this is all okay what the white people did 200 years ago to come to this country. And then we've got donations by the Pentagon. And then we've got a turbine winding course report. And we've got the AWB wheat board scandal with weevils in the flower. And a contribution by Mark, written and composed by Siv O'Neill. And he'll give you that website, theaccessoflogic.org, where you can go and get more of this person. And then we wind out with another Fringe Festival track, and it is Patient as a Tree by Inch Time. So that should entertain you for next week. Stay tuned. There will be more coming from nimbinradiomedia.libsyn.com and from NimFM here, from Nimbin Eastern Australia. You can read and write on nimfm.org, or you can send me an email, nimfm@nimfm.org. So it's very simple. My name is Martin. Be well. Don't get mangled over in the State of the Union and the wobbly leadership in America. Stay with Australia. It's much safer. Bye for now, but not forever.
It's really exciting. You're just lazy. Besides, we need to get in touch with Otto. Thank you.